Listening to Billy, he was one of my all-time favorite people to listen to and sing along to. And this one, oh, how can you beat New York State of Mind? He nailed it. He just nailed that song. So Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM, enjoying the music and enjoying the conversation. A lot of really nice emails from you, a lot of really nice texts from you. I'm glad that you're liking the show. And a lot of people still on the lines in hopes to talk to Mark McLish. However, he's gone to bed. So remember, I'm not your expert when it comes to lies and telling you about deception. You can go to our website, though, and you can find out his information and contact him that way. Take a seminar or thing like anything like that with him. Very interesting. I'm going to do that. Really interesting stuff, especially as an interviewer, right? That's some good stuff. And just in general, it's nice to know the things that he's teaching us. So, open lines continues. You've heard the numbers. Let's talk. Please don't ask me any expert questions when it comes to lies and deception. If you have a story to tell me about that, that's fine. But I know there's a bazillion and three of you out there that have written me along the way and said, "Hey, Connie, put me on. I got this story. I got that story." Well, this hour is your hour. Give us a call here. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. We are back and we are taking your questions and your phone calls. It is open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. We had a great conversation with Mark McLish. Thank him once again for showing up and talking to us about lying and deception and how he's used it in cases and what you can look for and some techniques. It's very, very interesting. And I do appreciate when you guys call in and talk to me about or write an email or text of some sort. And with all the social media out there now, Instagram, blah, 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 and you say very positive things. It's very nice to hear those. It just really, it's really nice because that's what the plan is to try to touch you and teach you and help you and learn in, interesting ways. So, a lot of the calls that were coming in, we just had a little conflict on the computer there, so I'm going to wait till they call back in. And when it comes to any questions about being a expert online, don't ask me that. So, let's see what we get here. Let's go to wild card number five, line number five, and talk to Jay out of Alaska. Wow. Hey, Jay. Oh, Jay dropped. He had a question probably about lying. And like I said, it's probably not good. I'm not the expert. That was Mark. So let's go to wild card line number one. We got Jay, David, Virginia, out of Virginia. Hey there, David. How are you? Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Connie. Thanks for taking my call. I was hoping to talk with Mark like everybody else, I guess.
I know, bummer. I'm so sorry.
No. I understand. It is what it is. I have an incredible story. My claim is that I'm 100% truthful and there's no deception at all in my story, and that's what I was going to present before Mark. I'm a whistleblower, and approximately a month ago, I talked to you on Facebook. I don't know if you remember me contacting you.
What's your last name?
I guess I'll give it out.
Oh, well, maybe
Pierre.
not. You don't have to. Don't do that.
I'm
Well,
coming. I'm coming forward, so I have nothing to hide.
you can just
My
tell me
last
the
name.
story if you want. Don't worry about the name.
Yeah, my last name is Kinderis with a K. And anyway, here's the story. I'm a targeted individual by the deep state, and some of the subjects you were bringing up with your guest, Mark, are some of the things that I'd like to talk about. They are preventing free energy. They use a lot of false flag deceptions, operations. They're destroying the environment, blaming us for it. They're covering up the Bigfoot and UFO phenomenons from the general public. They have all kinds of technologies, invisible cloaking, anti-gravity machines. They use pseudo stars up in the air to monitor people. They have tried to kill me numerous times, once with an invisible UFO. They ran me off the highway while I was traveling 70 miles per hour. I have been physically transported while in my truck from one location to another. I mean, we're talking about Star Wars technology, and it was happened instantaneously. Attesting to my truthfulness, I have told dozens and dozens of stories. I have hundreds of stories to tell, but I've told them to numerous people, and my stories are always the same, plus or minus how much detail. I'm willing to have any and or all, you know, it's my choice of words because of your guest, of my stories put before a lie detector test. I'm willing to have your guest do a statement analysis on me, body language tests on me, handwriting analysis on me. Since I am truthful and I have nothing to hide, I have nothing to be afraid of.
What is it that you know that you think that they're doing this for? You know, why would they be after you? It would seem to be that you have some sort of knowledge that they don't want out.
Right. Well, let's touch on one thing. I claim to be, one of my claims to fame is that I'm a somewhat of a Bigfoot expert. I'm not trying to boast about it, but when I worked for the government and government contracts for over 25 years, traveled all over the world. And once I retired, I decided I was going to look for the cryptid Bigfoot. And I basically devoted 4 years of my life to it. 1 year in particular, I put in approximately 250 days, approximately 8 hours a day with all kinds of electronic gear. And I learned that they were trying to hide the fact that the Bigfoots exist, and they're covering up evidence. I can prove it. I know what they're doing. They don't want the populace to know about Bigfoot, and I believe they're experimenting on Bigfoot. That I can't prove, but I believe they're genetically modifying them. They don't want us to know that they have invisible cloaking and anti-gravity machines, which would mean that they have free energy and that we wouldn't have to put gas and oil in our cars and petroleum products on our tires and petroleum. We wouldn't need roads and bridges and all the infrastructure that, we're way behind on repairing. None of that would be needed. So even the fact of having currency wouldn't be needed. But they're hiding all this from us because they're collecting money off of us. We're basically slaves to the system.
So do you believe that's the government or somebody beyond the government?
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Corey Good in his story.
Well, I definitely want yours for sure.
But anyway, there is a space program, secret space program, and within the secret. And one of the crafts that he describes is a small craft, a triangular craft. They call it the dart. I call it the dragonfly. I can show it to people. There's literally hundreds, if not thousands of them, maybe tens of thousands of them all across the nation. They fly in the sky every night. They're disguised, but with binoculars or a fast-moving telescope, especially in a lit sky with a full moon, you can clearly see these craft. There's nothing conventional about them. And they're spying on us using these craft.
So you said that you, what was your, what did you do for a living beforehand?
I was in the electronic telecommunications field. And I traveled all over the world. I've been in every continent except for Antarctica. I've been to or passed through at least 60 cities abroad.
And that certainly helps with some of the knowledge. You got some good background there. So tell me, since you were talking about the Bigfoot, it sounds like you know about a whole lot of other different things.
I'm not far from being in Central Virginia. I'm not far from you in Kentucky, and I'm not far from your guest in Charlotte, North Carolina. I would love to meet up with either one of you, but yeah, I could take you and your crew, your film crew, out in the woods. And I can show you the evidence that Bigfoot leaves. In fact, I was on the circuit about 5 years ago, and until they shut me down. But I was in radio shows and chat rooms discussing what they're doing. But the Bigfoot leaves telltale signs, and I coined a lot of the terms that are being used today in the Bigfoot world. I don't know if you've ever heard of tree formations or arch trees or TP formations. hook trees.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
These are terms that I originally coined, and monkey chatter, and now they're used freely out on the circuit.
Well, why don't you? I do know what you're talking about. What can you just tell me what you think that they are, and who they are, and what they're about?
I don't know what they are for sure. My speculation is that they are a type of primate. They have hinged feet. There's a mid-torsal break on their foot, so they're hinged like a chimpanzee's foot, but they have a full foot like a human. So that enables them to climb with their hands and their feet. They can hold on to branches with all four appendages at the same time. But yet they have the dexterity and the control of their feet to be able to run, at high speeds bipedally.
Are they from?
One of the ways that the Bigfoot can hear and see and smell, their senses are more acute than ours, and they have night vision. But they also imitate the sounds of the animals in the forest, and they communicate back and forth for two reasons. If you can imitate the sound of a deer, then you can lure the deer in to an ambush. But also, if you imitate the sounds of a barred owl or a deer or a coyote, you can fool the hunters and the Bigfooters to think that it's just another animal, when in fact it's the creatures talking to each other, saying, "Hey, those stupid humans are out there trying to find us again."
With your findings, do they live here, or do they live in another dimension, or is there another planet they're from? What is your findings from that?
I believe that they live here in underground caves, tunnels, gold mines, coal mines, and also in the loblolly pine forest and such. East Coast, they're cutting all the trees down. You got to ask why. And I know that the wood's used for telephone poles and paper, and the pulp for paper, but they're planting these loblolly pines up and down the East Coast, thousands upon thousands of acres. And if you walk 10, 20, 30 feet back in there, you can't see anything. The creatures can hide there and sleep on the needles and have one lookout creature. And then when they hear or see somebody coming, they just move. So they can move from place to place in the forest that way. But I believe they also live underground. I found a couple of their holes before, what I believe were their holes. And one of them mysteriously got covered up right after a few days after I found it.
Do you think you think they covered up, or do you think there's somebody else out there protecting them?
No, I think the deep state. I call them the bad guys. The underground industrial military alphabet soup agencies covered it up.
Oh, I got you. Do you believe? And you believe the reason they're covering, you believe they know what they are and that they are covering it up because of the technology? Is that what you said?
Right. Well, they don't want us to know that they've known about these things. Well, back in the 60s, I'll give you an example. Back in the 60s, on one of the, 60 Minutes 2020, the CIA came on the show and basically said, satellites and craft up in the sky can look down with the cameras, and I don't remember exactly what they said, either a coin or a cigarette, the label on, and read it from space. Now, that was back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you fast forward it to today, you can imagine what kind of technology they have. The aliens do exist, and they've gotten a lot of technologies from the aliens, just like Corso said and others. I mean, this is true. I totally believe it. And I've seen the crafts that they have. The majority of the triangle crafts that are flying around in the United States are not aliens at all. They're our own crafts. It's part of the TR-3B family of crafts. And, I've got tons and tons of stuff I can talk about if we can get together sometime. I could even take you in Kentucky without even knowing the landscape and show and walk you and a crew into the woods and show you where Bigfoot live just by reading the trees. I can read the trees.
That's cool that you can read the trees. I think that's unique. And no, listen, hey, they're real. They're everywhere. There's no question about that. All those things you said, that's for sure. But what's the difference of you knowing this information, and why are they after you? That's all. That's what I'm asking. What is it that you're after? Because why are they after you? Because you're saying things that everybody else says.
Right.
What's different?
I can verify the things I'm saying, and I can somewhat prove a lot of the things that I'm saying. Plus, I'm a code finder, code breaker. I deal with symbols, numbers, words and letter codes, and prophetic writings. I can interpret these things. I can interpret the symbols on movies and TV series and tell you exactly what they're saying and what they give their agenda to us ahead of time. But most people don't know how to read the symbols, or they can read some of it, but not all of it. I don't know why they do it, but they have to reveal what they're doing, at least in symbolic language. So they don't want me to reveal this stuff, and that's what I plan and intend on doing. You know, people say, why would you do it? Aren't you afraid that you're going to die or get thrown into prison? Well, I'm playing my cards differently than Edward Snowden did. I'm not going to reveal sources, names, program names, operational names, but I'm going to come out with the information, you know. And most of what I'm saying you can find on the internet. So, I mean, yep. How can they get me? And if they do kill me or throw me into prison, hey, I'm already in prison and I'm already half dead mentally, physically, and spiritually. So,
they call it the prison planet. Do you, is there one big thing before we have to go to break, and I want to take some other callers here before the night is up to give them a chance too. I appreciate your phone call. Is there any one big secret you'd like to go ahead and reveal for us now?
I think I've touched on a number of them already. Like I said, they physically transported me while I was in my truck, three separate occasions, and put me in a different location, and happened instantaneously a blink of an eye. So, I mean, they basically, in essence, what that's saying is they have space travel, time travel. They can do these things.
Is this humans, or are you talking ETs?
Yeah, humans.
Do you know why they took you?
They mess with me because I tell my stories to people and no one wants to believe it, even though I say I'm willing to go before any type of testing. And I'm convinced that I'll pass it. I mean, you were mentioning earlier about the Walton case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the crew went under polygraph, and every one of them, if I remember right, all of them passed except for one of them, who was kind of a, sketchy kind of person, that probably did a lot of lying, and he probably didn't want to go before the test, but all the other ones passed with flying colors. So and I know that all this stuff is happening. So it's not a question of if it's happening. It's a question of we need to come forward now and spill the beans, you know?
And David, I appreciate you calling in for sure. I do remember you getting a hold of me on Facebook, and I appreciate your words. It is open lines. We've got another 30 minutes before we close it down. So thank you guys for calling in, and we'll take your calls and we'll continue on here. You're listening to Coast AM. And Connie Willis, like the man said, on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines is happening for us now. We've still got another segment before we close the night out, so please give us a call and talk about what you'd like to talk about. A reminder once again about ParanormalDate.com. Check it out. It's free to sign up. You can use the code George for a really nice discount. It's available in Canada, too. And if anyone does get married or has some really cool thing happen from it, we want to know. There's over 61,000 members on there now. If you want more information, please, please check it out. You are not alone. Go to Coast to Coast AM for more information, coasttocoastam.com. It's the most listened to overnight radio program in North America. It is Coast to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. Connie Willis here. Open lines happening now. Lots of calls. Let's see what we can do here. First time caller, Got to bring in a first-time caller. We appreciate that you're with us. TK in Vegas. TK, welcome to Coast. How are you doing tonight?
Well, Connie, I have to say, you're definitely worth, waiting for, because this show, it's just been phenomenal. The things that I have learned, your last caller was just absolutely amazing. But to get to Mark, if you don't mind, if you could spell his last name for me, I'd greatly appreciate that, because there's a couple of things that I do want to make contact with him about.
Cost you a dollar.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
It's didn't expect that, right? Yeah. It is it's M and then a little C and then a large C, LISH. And you can always go to coasttocoastam.com if you'd have any more information, if you'd like more information, because we have him listed on there and we got his links and his books and some more information there.
Well, I have definitely become a fan. I was doing an appellate brief for the Supreme Court, which is due for Wednesday. And it has everything to do with what we were talking about, but basically just lying. I mean, lying. And I'm doing this pro per, and it has everything to do with the reporter, because I was slandered. And you expect reporters to have their own code of ethics that they're supposed to follow when they do a news story, not something to be a tabloid story. And it just happened to be because of the person that I was I was involved with a gentleman who is a retired district court judge. And so that always brings attention. And the media, I think, thinks there's always a story there. But the bottom line is, they had to come to me. And I'm not the public official. But during the deposition of this reporter, and when Mark was talking about, body language and the neck gets red and everything, nobody knows if someone's telling the truth, except for the person that they're writing about, meaning when they're writing about me in the media, I knew it was a lie. I tried to tell the reporter when the reporter called me, check your source out because it's a lie. And it was real simple, but the reporter just didn't want to take my advice. They went with the source and ran with what the source had to say, which was completely fabricated. So then you get people like Brian Williams, the major network, and then when he does what he does, he can easily use the word, well, he's embellished. And I thought, no, he didn't really embellish. He out and out lied that he was in a helicopter and there were shots and just things like that. So it really frustrates me when I'm the person. It's like I said to the person I was in my relationship with, I said, you're always going to have judge in front of your name. What am I going to have? A person who dated a judge? But I'm now defending what this other person had to say. I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Oh, yeah, you're in a tough situation. That was one of the things that I brought up with Mark at one point. I said, what do you do when you're being framed, you're being pointed to? And you're in this corner going, I didn't do anything. What's going on here? Where people, go towards you. They throw you under the bus. They point the finger at you, that projection onto you, and you're the innocent one. Yeah, I do. That would be a very tough situation to be in. And when you're talking about the media, I mean, it's not like we haven't heard that one anytime recently, right?
Well, that's exactly it. You talk about fake news. And when President Trump was out there, pointing his finger at a couple of different people, I was kind of excited about it because I'm not into the Twitter stuff, because I don't want to embark in that war type of thing with somebody. But it's almost like there's a new frontier because you brought this up within these hours of listening to you pertaining to, trolls and blogging and people going out there on the Internet. Well, people can, hide behind user names and say anything that they want to about somebody. And I think that's wrong. I think things need to be properly monitored. When a moderator who's supposed to monitor things, i.e., let's say a reporter here, because you know how now you have articles and you can make comments You can say anything you want about whatever that article is, and that's where people are now getting involved in things. Well, if your moderator is not doing things properly, then it's going to stay out there on the internet, and it has taken me, it took me 8 years to finally get some stuff off the internet. 8 years. And it existed, and I had an opportunity on one thing to go to Chicago for this job, which was a $150,000 a year paying position. And as you know, people tend to go to Google now as a reference source.
They do, and it's a terrible situation, and it's happening to a lot of people. And I absolutely feel for you. I know what you're talking about. And it just goes on to social media, and it's there forever. TK, thank you for your call. I just want to jump to some other callers while they're calling in for open lines. We appreciate you reaching out like that. It is tough out there now. I remember Mark Cuban talking about how the internet, you know, you need to stay off, be careful what you say, because it's on there forever. And that's when a couple social apps came out where it was seen for a second or enough for someone to read it, and then it would go away. So let's go out to east of the Rockies, Libby, Louisiana. How are you doing tonight, Libby? Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a longtime listener and finally gotten through for once. And I have
Yay.
To you personally.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you personally, because twice this evening over the last 4 hours,
uh-oh,
you have had something to say about bipolar disorder, and I want to know, have you had a negative experience with people or someone with bipolar?
Yes.
Are you aware that there's two different types of bipolar disorder?
Go ahead. Tell me. I might be.
Well, hey, I am. I'm bipolar too.
Oh, okay.
I am well controlled, have a great fake it or make it, and all of that. I don't have the highs and lows. I'm not one of those people who thinks they can fly 1 minute and the next minute they think they're going to be in a bit of flames or anything.
So what are the two types? You said two.
Well, bipolar 1 has extreme highs and lows.
The
bipolar 1 is characterized as the people who go way up, and they might as well be high on dope or something, because they are absolutely invincible. They think they can fly and this, there, and that, and the other. And when they go into the slump, it's a wave thing. It's ups and downs and ups and downs. And when they go into the slump, they're like, basically, they're suicidal or homicidal because they are so depressed.
Depression.
The bottom line there is so bad, and they have extreme highs and extreme lows. And a bipolar 2 is characterized by not so much highs. Depression isn't quite so bad, which also makes it hard to diagnose. And the biggest thing that we do is this little thing in the middle where we get, all of a sudden we have to do things. We get hyperactive, do, make. Fix things. Our depressions may be just as low as bipolar 1, but bipolar 2, we're not the ones that think that we can sail we can go parasailing and go off into the sunset or whatever. We're not, you know, that we're hyper.
You're cognitive to where, like right now, you're open about it, where a lot of people don't even want to mention it or admit to it at all.
Well, I would like this to be a change for a lot of people, because I'm 60 years old and I wasn't diagnosed until about 7 years ago.
Well, I appreciate the education on it. And I definitely appreciate that, because I know that medication can fix that easily. So for people to be diagnosed, that's the first step. So I want to thank you for your call. Very much appreciate that. Yes, there are troubles along the way in those situations, and they are more of the extreme of what she was talking about. So appreciate her call and pointing that out to me, because that's very true what she's talking about. A long time ago, I was studying that kind of stuff, and then when you see it in real life, it's like, ah! So let's take wild card line number one, Perry out in Santa Barbara, California. Beautiful area. Love that side of the world. How are you tonight, Perry?
First time caller for me.
Nice.
For me. Yeah, for
okay.
You. I enjoy your shows. You know, you have so much energy and, you know, and such, you know, George Norrie, he has Where's Willis? What happened with that, by the way?
That's right. Where's Willis? Well, tonight we know where I am, so we can't really use that.
Don't take offense to this. This is a little joke. I said,
okay.
What you talking about, Willis?
That's right. I hear it every day. I don't.
Oh, you do? Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
I say it back to people, too. It's okay.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Willis? That's it.
All right. Last night I had a dream, and I don't want to scare anybody. And it was listening, I think next week or the week after, I think probably next week, that there was something going on in North Korea, and George preempted his guest for about an hour and a half. Now, it wasn't incredibly serious, though. But, you know, I think we probably fired warning shots over North Korea or something, you know. And I don't know. It was so real, Connie. You know,
Do you have a lot of dreams like that where you feel you are there? Do you have elusive dreaming?
Yeah, sometimes, yes. Yeah, and, you know, and sometimes...
Elusive? Sorry, elusive dreaming?
Yeah.
Sorry, elusive. I was thinking Bigfoot. It was on my mind. Sorry.
No. It was a good... No, but sometimes it's just I'm not even sleeping, and I could, you know, just, you know, walk around and I have feelings too, you know, and in my dream, you know, it's funny, kind of in my dreams, all my lost loved ones, family and friends and whoever, they're not dead.
They're all here.
They're all here. I mean, and, you know, I say to, you know, my Aunt Modest, she was a Polish lady, I said, you're dead. No, I'm not. and to me, Connie, see, that the dream scene is more real when they're all alive in my dreams than regular reality when you're awake, you know.
Oh, absolutely, Perry. In fact, some of my friends that study what you're talking about and other things, they might claim that you would be an abductee and you're taking aboard a ship and that's what you're seeing, and you're getting information from the aliens that you know, about North Korea kind of thing. Have you considered that?
Pardon? Hon?
Have you considered that to be a possibility?
Yeah. You know, George Norrie has been talking for weeks on end about he has this funny feeling, you know, that something bad is gonna happen, you know? And I'm like, I don't know if I was influenced by him, or I think pretty much I'm picking up something that he's picking up as well, you know, about North Korea. And, well, the good thing, guys out there, and Connie, is that it's not incredibly serious. It is an incident, and I think George, in my dream, preempted his show for an hour and a half, and it was limited, though. I mean, there wasn't a big, you know... But, you know, we fired warning shots, warning missiles over North Korea or something like that. But, you know, it is going to heat up, I believe, Connie. And I hate to say this. I'm scared. I live in Lompoc, California area. My parents live in Lompoc. I live in Santa Barbara. And, I visit them all the time. But anyway, but they could hit the West Coast. And that is the scariest thing of all for me.
Are your premonitions, have they been right in the past?
A lot, and premonitions and just I think I'm an intuitive, because I could feel things. All right, real quick example. I'll never prove it's true, though. We were supposed to go, and we were supposed to rent a little U-Haul by my step-grandmother, you know, in Oceanside.
And you got about 30 seconds to tell me.
Okay. And I just had this feeling that we were going to get into a car accident. Now, see, I'll never prove it was right or not, you know.
But you got to trust yourself, you know. You got to trust yourself.
Thank you, Connie, so much. I enjoy it. You know, I wish you would be the permanent weekend host, really. You know?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate
You're welcome. You take care. I'm from Indiana originally, not too far.
Oh,
where you are.
Hammond,
Indiana, right next to Chicago there.
Okay, excellent. Well, nice talking to you. And enjoy Santa Barbara. It's a beautiful area. And I appreciate you calling in. Open lines. I think we're going to have to close it out here because we're getting pretty close. Let's see if we can grab one real quick. Do we have time for one more, you think? Can we go really fast? What do we got, 2 minutes? Okay, no, we're 90 seconds. I don't know. That's a little tight for me on the 90 seconds. Mark McClish, if you guys are looking for his information, easy to find. Go to coasttocoastam.com. That's where his information is going to be. You're going to find his website and how to get hold of his books. Lisa Gar is going to be on Coast to Coast tomorrow night for Saturday night. On Monday or Sunday night, then we get George Knapp. He's back again. And if you want to know what the topics are, that's where you want to go, is to our website. Great, great webmaster, great web guys that are always working on that site, keeping it up to date. It's amazing how much information that they can pull out that is, you know, that fits the coast genre. I love it. If you're looking for anything, if you're bored at all and you're like, oh my gosh, it's in the middle of the day, I can't wait for Coast to be on, go to our website. Nothing but good stuff there. Absolutely nothing. So I want to thank you again and our guest, Mark McClish, for showing up, and those of you that called on the open lines. Appreciate everybody's time and thoughts, and thank you for tuning in. Hey, and if you appreciated the show and enjoyed it, give us a call. Write us. Let us know. We love to hear that. We love to hear the good news. So from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, Derby coming up, many thanks to Josh Everett, Bill May, Kirk Wesley, Tim Banal, Lex Lonehood, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Dan Galanti with me tonight, Donna Walker as well, helping me on the phones. Donna, thank you so much for getting me through all that for tonight. Tommy Danheiser, Sean Ledesour, Nathan Staten missed us tonight, but hey, Lisa Lyons too, what a great help she is. Of course, she's the woman, George Knapp and George Norrie. Join me again here on Coast to Coast in the future. I'll let you know as soon as that happens. And thanks for subscribing to me on my Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, my YouTube channel. I really appreciate you guys.